I'm really happy to be here with my good buddy Mike Adams, the Health Ranger in the Natural News Forensic Food Lab. And we're going to talk about a hot button topic today, vaccines. But before we get into that topic, tell us why are we here?
Well, this is our scientific lab. Over the last 3 years, I've built a world-class laboratory for the scientific analysis of toxins that are in foods and medicines. I've tested vaccines in this lab using that ICP-MS instrument right there. And what I found in there is pretty shocking. Hopefully we'll talk about that in a minute. What I found in this is that people who believe vaccines are safe and effective are anti-science, because the science, the real science, says that vaccines are largely a hoax, the way that they are made and promoted today, that they are unsafe, that they do cause autism and other problems, convulsions, they put children in the hospital, they kill people. They could be made safer. And I know exactly how they could be made safer, and I'd be happy to share that. I'm actually the author of a special report called A Blueprint for Safer Vaccines. So I want to be very clear up front. As a scientist who owns my own private science lab, I am not opposed to the theory of immunization, the theory of it, how the body could respond to things and build its own immune system. What I am vehemently opposed to is the quack science behind the pushing of toxic vaccines that contain toxic elements and toxic chemicals that harm and kill children all across the world. Mm. So that might be a unique perspective, but it's a very science-oriented perspective, and that's where I'm coming from.
It is. It is, and I'm glad that you've shared that with us. So you're not against the theory of vaccines, but you are against the way that they're pushed today.
No, and I said I'm not against the theory of immunization.
Immunization. Okay, so I fell into the classic blunder.
Right.
Because vaccination is not necessarily immunization.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm glad you caught that point.
Explain the difference.
Vaccination is not immunization. So your body has a natural process of immunization in response. It's an adaptive response to exposure to, for example, live viruses that are all around us. You immunize yourself when you are exposed to a virus. Your body recognizes it because you have this functioning immune system, the blueprints of which are built into every cell of your body. You're a biochemical master of immunization.
Yeah.
You would not be alive if your ancestors weren't really, really good at this. So we immunize ourselves naturally all the time through exposure to viruses that make some people sick. Well, who do they make sick? The people who are vaccinated. Why is that? Because the vaccines harm the immune system. They compromise the immune system. They weaken the immune system. In the same way that you send an astronaut into space and they have no gravity, they have no stress on their bones and stress on their muscles, what happens? They atrophy. They lose bone density. They lose muscle mass. They come back to the planet and they can hardly walk. Why is that? They become weak. Vaccines do that to your immune system. They make your immune system weak and make you vulnerable to other infections. A healthy immune system, practicing healthy immunization, is in people like you and I. I haven't been vaccinated since I was a kid, and I haven't been sick in over a decade. Why is that? Am I somehow, have I been able to avoid all viruses? No. I'm shaking people's hands. I'm in public spaces. People cough on my food just like they cough on your food. Why am I not sick? Because my body is exhibiting its own immunization without vaccination.
Mm. That's a great clarification, because I think a lot of times, as I did, we equate vaccination with immunization, and it's not the same thing.
It's not. Even the antibodies that your body builds in response to vaccination are not as strong or effective as antibodies that come from live exposure, real-world exposure to a viral threat. So a child that's immunized through real exposure to a flu a flu virus, in other words, natural immunity, has greater protection against other flus than a child who is injected with a flu vaccine. That child will be weakened and made vulnerable to other flus. Vaccines actually spread pandemics. They cause pandemics. This has even been borne out by the scientists themselves, the virologists who worked for Merck, and they filed a False Claims Act with the federal government saying that this is all fraud, that the company ordered us to spike these blood samples with antibodies from animals so it would pass the FDA's scrutiny and be accepted as an effective mumps vaccine. It's all fraud. It's a hoax.
And that's what we see frequently over the last several years, is that we see these outbreaks of certain diseases and we find out, wait, those were in fully vaccinated areas.
Exactly.
All right, think about it logically, Ty. If vaccines worked, if they offered immunity, then anytime you saw an outbreak of something among children, you know, measles or mumps or something like that, wouldn't that outbreak happen among only unvaccinated children? That would make logical sense, right?
That would be logical, yeah.
But that's not what we see. We see the outbreaks happening among those who are vaccinated. In fact, it tends to be that most of the children who come down with mumps or measles have already been vaccinated against the very thing that is now afflicting them. That alone, unless you're going to abandon logic, that is proof that vaccines do not offer immunity.
Right, but isn't that the situation that we find ourselves in today, is that we have oftentimes, not you and I particularly, but as a society, we have abandoned logic?
Yes, the entire pro-vaccine argument abandons logic from the start. There is no science in it. It is simply an agenda, almost a demand for obedience, a mythology, if you will. And it's interesting, throughout human history, mythologies have always been part of the practice of so-called medicine in every culture. Even in, you know, American history, during colonial times, there was a myth about how mercury was medicine that would eliminate the evil spirits that caused disease. And the doctors of the day prescribed mercury, and they killed many, many patients with mercury. Well, guess what? That same mercury is still being used today in vaccines given to children in places like California. So a lot of the vaccine propagandists still lie to the public and say, well, mercury has been removed from all these vaccines given to children. Sure. It's not true. It's factually just false. They fabricate this information to try to deceive the public. Just last year, the Secretary of Health of the state of California issued a letter, and we posted this on naturalnews.com, so you can read the letter yourself. It says, well, we've run out of the mercury vaccines for flu shots for children, so it's okay now to use mercury in the flu shots for children. So line them all up and let's give them mercury flu shots. This was from the government of California. And this is the same state that has stripped away the freedom to choose from parents, basically violating the very tenets of medical ethics, violating the code of ethics of the American Medical Association, forcing a toxic, dangerous, proven hazardous substance onto the children of California. And they call that public health.
It's insanity.
It's a public travesty.
Yeah.
It's a medical catastrophe.
How did we get to this position in the United States and even globally that we have pretty much just accepted vaccines as being safe and effective when the evidence isn't there? I mean,
it's easier than you think. And we don't have to go down conspiracy lane to even get to the answer. Everybody knows that corporations like to make money, right? Is that a conspiracy?
That's their job.
That's their job, right?
Right.
That's what the board of directors is all about. Make more money. That's what they do. Well, how do you make money if you sell a product that claims to prevent pandemics? Well, you have to have a pandemic to create demand for the product, right? So the best way to maximize profits if you're a vaccine manufacturer is to make sure your product doesn't work so that it causes the pandemics that create demand for the product that you're selling that you claim stops the pandemic that your product actually caused. Mm. It's not a conspiracy. It's a business model. This is how they make money.
It's the same business model that's used in the cancer industry with chemotherapy,
yes,
isn't it?
Exactly. Chemotherapy causes cancer. It's repeat business. Statin drugs cause diabetes. diabetes drugs cause liver failure. Liver failure drugs cause kidney problems. Mm. It's a cycle. Antidepressants cause diabetes. You know, it is a business model of the industry to make money. And a key part of that is the myth, the false fairy tale narrative that vaccines prevent infections. We would actually have fewer infections in America if we simply gave children vitamin D and no vaccines. Mm. Would children get measles and mumps? Some of them would, and they would have natural immunity, and then their risk of being infected with anything in the future would diminish sharply.
I did as a kid. I had measles and mumps, never got them again.
Exactly, or chicken pox, for that matter. Chicken pox, very survivable. And if you enhance the immune systems of children, you know, the vaccine industry likes to come at this from a point of view of compassion for children. Well, I think it's more compassionate to save children's lives rather than make them autistic or harm them with toxic vaccines. So how do you save children's lives? Well, you boost their nutrition to activate the genetic code that they all have that causes the expression of their immunology, which gives them the adaptive response to exposure to viruses in the wild. So with vitamin D, you're activating this huge portion of their gene code. You're actually invoking the power of their genetics to make them able to respond in a symptomless way. In other words, they don't get sick, they don't have a fever, they don't even know they were infected, but now they're immune because they have that built-in immunology system, that nanotechnology of human biology. And it's activated with things like vitamin D.
And so that leads me to we go back in time, back in history. Isn't that the fundamental difference between what we would look at, say, orthodox medicine today versus natural medicine? Is that orthodox medicine, they seem to be afraid of the virus, afraid of the bacteria, afraid of the whatever, the pathogen. Whereas with natural medicine, it's not the pathogen, it's not the bacteria, it's not the virus, it's the terrain of the person.
Right.
Isn't that the fundamental difference?
Yeah, you just nailed it. Allopathic medicine takes a contrarian approach to viruses. And look at the results of that. They want to attack every virus or bacteria with a chemical. So what has that led to decades later? You know, a century into allopathic medicine, what do we have? Drug-resistant superbugs that now threaten humanity. Yeah. We've reached the era of the end of antibiotics. And that's a statement from the World Health Organization. That's not just Mike Adams saying that, right? We have reached a time when you could die from a superbug infection from getting a scratch and going to the hospital, where you're likely to be infected by other patients and doctors and health practitioners who do not follow sanitary practices, who are actually spreading disease. The system of modern medicine is doing more of the spreading of disease than the prevention of disease. Now, a holistic approach to this would say, let's strengthen the vitality of the patient. Let's change their terrain. Let's give them the biochemistry tools in their own bodies to respond and adapt and overcome infections. And once you do that, they're immune to so many things that could come out there, whether that virus mutates or not. Remember, even the CDC admits that oftentimes the flu shot is completely ineffective because they chose the wrong strain of the virus. Mm. But if you have natural immunity in your body, in your system, then that is more of a broad-spectrum immunity against more mutant variations of that virus. So where if you go the vaccine route, you have to be lucky and make sure that they hit you with just that right strain, which is usually last year's circulating virus, which is why I say vaccines are great for time travelers. If you want to go back to last year, and maybe a vaccine could help you, but for this year, virus is already mutated. Mm. So you need an adaptive response from your body that can adapt to all those mutations in real time, usually in a symptomless way where you don't even know that you were exposed or that you adapted. Mm. Also, one more thing, Ty.
Yeah.
Remember that you cannot turn off your immune response either. It's automatic. It's built into your system. It's part of who you are. It's part of your biology, your chemistry, even your spirit, your consciousness, I believe. It's part of you. You can't turn it off. If a virus comes in and it starts attacking your body responds to it as long as it has the tools in the immunology, which means you got to have vitamin D. You have to have good nutrition. Mm. You know, you have to not be overcome with toxins you know, lead in food or chemicals and pesticides and herbicides. They weaken your immune response.
Which then lends more credence to the assertion that immunization is not equal to vaccination, because if you can't turn it off, right, what do we always hear? You need to go in for a booster vaccine.
Right.
You need to go in for the third. Well, if the first one worked, if it was immunization, then right. You wouldn't turn it off. It'd keep working.
Yeah, that right there is evidence that their vaccines are fraudulent. Because if it did work, why do you need a second one, a third one, a fourth one? And in veterinary medicine, the scam of animal vaccines is so huge and so tragic. People are bringing their dogs in to get vaccinated every year for a vaccine that's supposed to be permanent.
Yeah.
Well, so it's total fraud, yeah. Right? And they're harming their dogs. They're injecting mercury into their dogs.
But think of the money that's generated.
Exactly.
That.
It's all about the money. And then the vaccines cause kidney problems in the animals. Well, you have a kidney problem with your dog, you take them back to the vet, they get more money. Same thing in humans. Dialysis centers make fortunes off of vaccine victims. Mm. You know, there could be an argument made that if vaccines were single-dose vials and they only contained a weakened target strain, and if they were taken through nasal passages or even a drop that you put in the corner of your eye, for example, that it could be a relatively safe vaccine. But that's not the way vaccines are formulated. They're manufactured with chemicals and heavy metals like mercury and lighter metals like aluminum. But the chemicals are specifically added to them to cause an inflammatory response in the body. Now, allow me to explain the great science fraud of this theory of vaccination. Let me do it this way, and please bear with me on this. Let's take two people. One person, person A, let's say, strong immune system, can respond to an infection, can respond to the presence of a virus and build their own antibodies, right? Person A. Now let's say there's person Z, immunosuppressed, living on junk food, vitamin D deficient, gets sick every winter, thinks they need a vaccine, all right? Now, person A, remember, strong response. Do they need a vaccine against the flu? The answer is no, because if they're exposed to the flu, they're going to immunize themselves, right? So, because they have a strong response. Person Z, if they get the vaccine, does it work? The answer is no, because they can't have a response to it. The vaccine fails on the person who could theoretically benefit from it, and the vaccine is not needed on the person who doesn't need it because they have their own immune-building system. So what do the vaccine companies do? They add chemicals to the vaccine, thinking about person Z. They say, this vaccine doesn't have a strong enough response. So we're going to add these toxic inflammatory chemicals, these adjuvants, as they're called. Mm. Toxic, should never be injected, right, into anybody. They add those to cause an inflammatory response, to try to get that person's body to respond to that vaccine injection. And that is where a lot of the hazard comes from. That's where you get epilepsy, you get seizures, you get people put into comas, you get autism.
Yeah.
It's because of the toxic chemicals. All they need to do is give this person vitamin D.
And when you say they get seizures, they get autism, this is not just Mike Adams making this stuff up. There's a, if you look at the package insert for the DPT vaccine,
yeah.
It lists autism and seizures as possible side effects.
Oh, yeah.
So it's right hidden in plain sight.
It is.
For us.
If you open up a Gardasil package and you read the insert, it says, beware, the person you're injecting may lose consciousness and fall down and hurt themselves, you know, be injured from loss of consciousness. Well, wait a minute. If a vaccine doesn't affect your brain, how could it cause loss of consciousness to so many people that they have to print it on the label, you know, the insert sheet?
Yeah.
If you simply follow the logic and you look at the evidence, you realize that vaccines are largely a medical hoax. The only people that believe in vaccines are people who are uninformed, who have been propagandized or brainwashed, or who have money at stake in the market success of vaccines. Mm-hmm. The people pushing them are the people who benefit from them. But any legitimate scientist that took a legitimate look at this issue would conclude that vaccines, as they are formulated and administered and marketed today, are a complete scientific and medical hoax. Mm-hmm. There's no other conclusion.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at the history of vaccines, one of the interviews last year in the Truth About Cancer, a Global Quest, I can't remember who it was. I think it was a lady in the Netherlands that I interviewed. She was talking about Jenner, Edward Jenner, and the smallpox vaccine, right? And so he injected, he took this cow pus, injected it. He used his son and another little boy as guinea pigs, basically. And both of them died by the age of 20 or 21. And I think that both of them died of tuberculosis, which is a side effect of this, of smallpox, right? So this was not a huge success for the inception of vaccines. Both people that were tested died by the age of 20 or 21.
Yeah.
And that was the inception of this vaccine industry today, was the smallpox vaccine with Jenner.
Well, if you look at the history of medicine, you got to remember there was an era, too, when scientists thought that radioactive elements were mystical, powerful medicines, and they would take, I believe, a radium element, and they would tape it to the head of a girl who had a tumor. And, you know, a couple months later, they would show her on camera, look, the tumor's gone, and she's going to go on to live a happy, healthy life. Well, they never did a follow-up. 5 years later, she's dead from brain cancer.
Right.
The history of medicine is full of arrogant mistakes by so-called prominent, preeminent scientists and doctors who poisoned their patients and did so with full confidence that they were the only ones who had the right answers. The healthy perspective is the perspective that I'm offering and that you're offering, is to say, where is the arrogance of medicine found in this formula? Where may they have gone wrong? What things are they not considering? What about the law of unintended consequences? What about the precautionary principle? Are there things they have not considered? Interactions, for example, between, let's say, the mercury and vaccines and other elements that children may be consuming through the water supply, such as fluoride. You know, fluoride is a very, very reactive, fluorine is a reactive element. And if you take that in and you're taking in a pharmaceutical here, an SSRI, an ADHD drug, you know, essentially, you know, crystal meth for kids. You're taking these in.
We were just talking about that in the car.
And you're getting mercury in a vaccine and a chemical adjuvant. You know, what is the combination effect on a child's biology?
The negative synergy of those things, it's hard to even measure,
enormous.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Rasha Buttar was talking about that the last time I interviewed him, and he said, you know, you have one element that might kill 1 out of 100 people. You have another that might kill 1 out of 100, but you put them together and they kill 50 out of 100.
Exactly.
Not two. The popular mantra, though, is that vaccines are safe and effective, right? I mean, that's, you hear that from everyone. They're safe and effective. But is that actually true, right? I mean, if we look at the package inserts, right, they'll say they have not been tested for mutagenicity, carcinogenicity. So they haven't been tested to see if they cause changes in the DNA. We haven't been tested to see if they cause cancer. How can we possibly say that a vaccine is safe and effective when they haven't been tested?
Vaccine science is voodoo science. Even flu shots, if you open up the insert, which they normally don't even give you, you have to actually
ask for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you read the insert, usually it says that this flu vaccine has never been tested against the flu strain that it claims to treat. So, in other words, there's zero evidence of efficacy. So... Yeah. You know, you can't call that science. It's voodoo.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe you could call vaccines, I don't know, a faith-based medicine, you know, with like psychic surgery.
Sure. They will, you know.
Some of these other things.
Yeah, our good friend and our mutual friend, Robert Scott Bell, he calls vaccines the sacrament of the Church of Biological Mysticism.
Yeah.
So I think that's right in line with what you're saying. I mean,
yeah.
People to believe in vaccines, they have to exercise a lot of faith because the evidence is not there for them to be effective nor safe.
Well, North Korea, this is an example. You know, humanity has been ruled by myths, false narratives for a very long time. How can all the people of North Korea believe that Kim Jong-un is their god? Why do they believe that? It's the same reason that people in America believe vaccines are safe. It's because that's what they've been told. The people of North Korea are genetically almost identical to you and me. very few differences in our genetic code. We're born the same way. We have the same biology. Mm. We live on the same planet. We breathe the same air. How could they believe something so crazy? And we, in America, we think everything we believe makes perfect sense. Truth is, we need to look at our own belief systems. We need to ask questions, skeptical, rational questions about what we believe. Our medical system is based on layer upon layer of false mythologies. Mm. One of them being that every disease has to be treated with a chemical. That model, that paradigm, is fraudulent. The diseases that people are suffering from today, cancer in particular, they're not going to be cured by a chemical. It's not a parasite that invaded you like malaria, you know, or smallpox, for that matter, you know, a viral or a bacterial infection. It's not that. Something entirely different. So the old paradigms don't work anymore. And vaccines come out of the old paradigm of assaulting the body with an intervention, in this case with a needle, an injection, and forcing the body to make a change. That paradigm is just as old and outdated as Newtonian physics is in the age of relativity or quantum physics. You know, no physicist today thinks that Isaac Newton had the final say of how molecules interact and the laws of motion and electron orbitals in atomic elements. That would be ludicrous. So why are we still stuck in the old school medicine from the 1800s when we've already made so many more advances in understanding? You know, these are the real questions. We, people like you and I, Ty, we are the real progressives in the advancement of medical understanding. Holistic thinkers. People who have the bigger picture. You know, we're not limited to that little box of old school chemical assaults on the body.
You know, I think that's a good analogy that you used, being, you know, we're really back in the dark ages almost with the theory of vaccines.
Yeah.
Much like we are with the treatments for cancer. As I look at the comparison of the cancer industry to the vaccine industry, there's so many similarities because we're using antiquated treatment methods that don't work, that have been proven not to work, but we still use them. And then what's that common thread between them? Yeah. Right? It's lucrative. They're very lucrative.
Exactly. The vaccine industry exists as a method to extract financial productivity, in effect, from the population. Not as a system to prevent disease or to enhance or increase health. The same thing is true about the pharmaceutical system. People know now, it's kind of common knowledge, drug companies buy medicines that are off patent or sometimes on patent, and they'll just hike the price 5,000% and say, look, we can charge people this much money now. That's our business model. It has never been about making people healthy. The vaccine industry is the pharmaceutical industry. They are the same. It's all the same companies. And they all have the same mission, to make money. And again, how do you make money if you sell a vaccine? You make sure your vaccine spreads the disease. Every outbreak could be, if the CDC actually wanted to do this, could be traced back probably... Well, not every outbreak, but most outbreaks could be traced back to a vaccine. And the ones that aren't traced to a vaccine could be traced back to immune-suppressed children who are kept immune-suppressed by the very system that profits from the vaccines. In other words, these are kids that are on drugs, ADHD drugs, antidepressant drugs, behavioral change drugs. They're on processed foods. They're on fake vitamin supplements made by the drug companies and marketed to children using cartoon characters. And those are the most toxic vitamins of all, by the way. Everything's fake in them. Fake molecules, fake minerals. By fake, I mean they're not biocompatible with human biochemistry. They're inorganic minerals. They are the wrong forms of vitamin E, for example. So this whole system exists to extract money off the suffering of human children. That's how sick it is.
So you just gave me the perfect segue into my final question. So you got a mom out there, she's got three kids. She's like, Mike, what do I do? My doctor wants me to vaccinate my kids. I want my kids to be healthy. I don't want them to get these diseases. But if I don't vaccinate them, what can I do to keep them healthy?
Well, if you're forced into vaccination by a medical police state, such as California, there are things that you can do
to greatly minimize your child's chances of being harmed by the vaccine. Those happen to be the same things you can do to make your child never need a vaccine. Okay. So in other words, give your child good nutrition, good healthy diet, lots of vitamin D and vitamin C. Make sure they have exposure to nature and sunshine. Make sure they're drinking water, not soda. Make sure they're eating fresh, organic produce, fruits, and vegetables with every meal, not just hot dogs and potato chips and Doritos and what have you. Make sure they're eating a healthy diet. If you do that with your children, they are relatively unlikely to suffer damage from the toxic chemicals that are found in vaccines, precisely because they now have in their bodies activated the detox and decontamination biochemical protocols that can eliminate the mercury that's found in vaccines and eliminate the toxic chemicals in vaccines. It is children who are unable to eliminate that are damaged by vaccines. And maybe I should have said this 10 minutes ago or whatever. You know, this is a very important issue. Why are most children are not damaged by vaccines? Some are, but it's a minority number. Why is that? The answer is those are the ones who cannot eliminate the toxins found in vaccines. That's the answer. And that's a fraction of the whole population. But those lives count. And by the way, it's black children more than any other race. You know, if you think black lives matter, you should question vaccines.
Because isn't that what the CDC whistleblower revealed a few years ago?
That's right. That's right. They knew at the CDC that vaccines increase the risk of autism in young African-American boys, specifically boys. And if you look at the rates of autism in the African-American community, guess what? It's predominantly boys. There is a genetic and biochemical reason for that. The CDC was aware of that. They chose to cover it up. They committed scientific fraud. They altered the data to eliminate the statistical certainty of that conclusion. And they knew that over a decade ago. So for the last, really, 15-plus years, black children in America have been medically harmed, tortured, desecrated by a medical system that knew that those children would have their lives destroyed. A medical system that said nothing. Just like the children in Flint, Michigan, who were poisoned by lead in the water, and that's been called a crime against humanity. The EPA knew about that lead, and the Michigan governor knew about that lead. They did nothing. The crime against children happening in vaccines is 1,000 times larger. Mm. It's not just Flint, Michigan. It's every city in America. Every population of young black children or African-American families raising kids, every population where those kids are getting vaccinated is currently being devastated by these toxic effects of the vaccine, an industry that knows it is essentially committing what we have to call medical genocide against black children.
Mm. Wow.
What do you say to that? You know,
you take a stand and you try to stop it. Mm. That's what you do. If you have any ounce of humanity in your body, in your mind, you try to stop it.
Well, hopefully the information that we've shared here today is going to bring awareness to it, and it's going to help eventually stop it. So thank you for sharing, brother.
Thank you, Ty.
All right, Mike.
A father losing his health, his body is shot and destroyed by the vaccine. And the vaccine industry has absolute legal immunity. They push all the risks of their toxic interventions onto the individuals, the families, the moms and dads. They take no risk whatsoever. And you know why? Because they have legal immunity, and it means they have no reason to have quality control. They could put, if they wanted to, they could put radioactive cesium-137 into a vaccine and inject people with it and cause you cancer, and they would have absolute no liability whatsoever. They could put anything in a vaccine, and to some extent they do. They put known neurotoxins in the vaccines. It's criminal. It's criminal what they do to our fellow human beings. And this is one of the reasons why I do what I do, because I have compassion for these people, and I want to stop this criminal industry from damaging more lives and stealing more livelihoods away from people. And it's getting away with this. You know, if anybody else ran around the country murdering children, we'd lock them up. When the vaccine industry does it, they get more money from the CDC and the government and government grants. It's criminal. Once people are damaged by vaccines, you can try to help them with nutritional support, but there is permanent damage that cannot be undone. These lives are destroyed forever. All you can do is to try to warn others and try to raise the alarm and prevent other people from becoming victims of this criminal industry that destroys children. That's why I do what I do. Throughout world history, there were times when regimes, totalitarian regimes, mass murdered people. You know, Adolf Hitler and Mao of China and all of these episodes of mass human suffering and misery and destruction. And eventually humanity woke up and stopped them. Today we need to wake up and stop the vaccine industry, because it is murdering, maiming far more children than were ever even killed in the Holocaust. And this is a medical Holocaust. This is a scientific totalitarian dictatorship that we are suffering under, and our children are being sacrificed to that regime of profit and vaccines. It's time to stop it. I hear from our readers, I hear from people, friends, even friends from high school. They know what I'm doing today, and when they have a child who suffers from this, I'll hear from them. They'll call me, and they'll say, you know, my God, I thought you were crazy until I took my child to get vaccinated, and now they're suffering. What should I do? You know, and my answer is, you know, number one, don't have your next child vaccinated, and then let's see how we can help this child that you have now. But people wake up when it happens to them, and then immediately they realize they've been lied to. I never feel like I haven't done enough, because I dedicate every single day of my life to fighting for protecting life. I do it through science, through my laboratory. I do it through advocacy, through films and podcasts and articles. If I were to die today, right now, I would die knowing that I did absolutely everything that I could do to protect life on this planet and to raise the alarm over these institutions of junk medicine and bad science that are killing people. And I have no question whatsoever that maybe in my lifetime, but certainly in the next 1 to 2 generations, when this dark era of bad medicine ends and collapses, that people like myself will be recognized for our contribution in raising the awareness and raising the alarm over what has been happening. And the future of medicine is a future that will not involve injecting children with toxic chemicals and calling it immunization. There is a much better way to protect the lives of children, and that I want to help that future arrive more quickly. I want to advance medicine. I want to see medicine progress past the dark ages under which it operates today. There's no reason why we can't have children who have strong immunity and who are resistant to infections through nutrition, through healthy eating habits, through sunlight exposure that actually creates vitamin D in their bodies, avoidance of exposure to toxic chemicals. We could create mass immunity and disease resistance tomorrow if we simply had the will as a civilization to do that. This is not just a journey of science or advocacy for me. This is a spiritual mission. I feel divinely inspired every day. Now, I'll use tools of science and nutrition and biochemistry, but my inspiration is divine, and my intention is to protect life to awaken people, to awaken conscious beings so that they can protect their lives. So when you are in that battle, to use that metaphor, it is a battle. It's life against death. You know, we are the protectors of life battling the merchants of death, quite literally. When you're in that battle, the only way that you can proceed and survive that battle is to know from day one that there will be casualties that you cannot prevent, that you cannot save every person, every innocent child. You can only save so many. You can only awaken so many. But you do that, you have that positive impact. You do that to the best of your ability and the abilities that God gave you, whatever those happen to be, you know, intelligence or scientific capabilities, the ability to learn, the ability to feel empathy, compassion. You use those tools to the best of your ability, and you, at that point, you know that you have fulfilled your mission in helping others to the greatest extent possible. So that video you showed me, that man's life has been destroyed. It's too late to save that individual. But there are billions of other individuals who we could help save from that same devastating outcome. And that's where you have to focus. Otherwise, you'll go mad. If you focus on the death and destruction of the vaccine industry every day, it'll drive you crazy and you won't be able to last. But by focusing on those that you save and focusing on the divine inspiration that drives you to pursue this kind of very difficult battle, that's what keeps you going. And I draw inspiration from nature all around us right here. I walk in nature every single day. I live in nature. I live in the country. Without that balancing and that energizing effect of Mother Nature, I could not pursue this work. So nature inspires me. In effect, nature uses me as a tool to save the lives of other people who are also part of nature. I am Mother Nature's immune system against the devastating effects of modern medicine and destructive vaccines. I am a part of the holistic response of nature against the destructive tendencies of mankind. Oh yeah, yeah. Look, a life lived without purpose is a life wasted. And so, yeah, your purpose is either presented to you or you pick it, or a combination of that. You choose it. And once you're committed to that life purpose, it doesn't matter how long or short your life is. It was a life lived with purpose, period. So, you know, you said you're willing to die for it. And I immediately thought, no, I'm willing to live for it. I'm willing to live every day for it. We all die at some point. So what? You know, our spirit lives on. This is not the end of our existence. So this is a test. You see, what we do with this life is a test. I believe this is a divine test. Are we willing to do the difficult tasks of protecting life? If so, we pass the test. But if we compromise, if we give in, if we you know, join the vaccine industry to make money while children are being poisoned and killed, then you fail the test. And we live in a society where more people are seduced by money and profit and power than the number of those who are willing to stand up and fight to protect other fellow human beings at risk to themselves. And science is accessible to anyone who wants to learn it. And that's the beauty of what I do and what we have in this world, which is still relatively free, is that any of us can pursue science and use it to expose the toxins that are in medicines. And that science is irrefutable because it's reproducible in any lab anywhere else in the world. So as I learn these skills, I simply work to apply them in the interests of the public good. And that's why my lab does not accept any money from government. We don't get any grant money. We don't apply for grants. We don't take money from you know, universities or the National Science Foundation or anything like that. It's all private money because we don't want outside parties to be able to pull our strings, to deny us funding because they don't like our areas of inquiry. We think science should be free. In other words, free to pursue any questions that you wish, and that the results should be freely shared with the public. And that's the kind of science that we do. My dad was always a big thinker about society's solutions to the big problems. I remember him saying to me once, he said, you know, if I were president of the United States, I could solve most of the economic problems in 2 years, but the population would hate me. Because you have to make tough decisions, you know, to cut spending and to get the economy working again. Popular economic policy is often not rational economic policy. So those are the kinds of things that he was always a big thinker about, solving big, big problems. And he bought me a computer, one of the very first Apple II computers. Before the Mac, I had one of the very first Apple computers when I was in elementary school. And I learned programming, all self-taught, at a very young age. And I remember sitting at a desk in school, literally writing computer code by hand. And then at night I would go home and I would type in that code into the program, and I would then run the program from there. So instead of paying attention to the teacher in class, I was literally writing computer code. And I remember I had to work out before I even learned anything about algebra or geometry. This was when I was in, I think, the sixth grade. I had to figure out an algorithm for plotting a circle using X, Y plots in a computer program code. So if you think about it, how do you draw a circle without using sine and cosine functions? I figured that out in the sixth grade. That was one of the things that I spent time doing, kind of geeking out with computer code. Yeah, my father would have been absolutely thrilled to know what we're pursuing today in terms of finding the truth. I feel that he inspires me. His spirit is with me in this journey. He's there with me, and he's very, very happy that I'm doing what I'm doing. And it's, again, we don't, you know, my dad and I, we never tried to tackle the easy problems. We never took it easy. We never spent Sunday watching a football game. You know, we did things. We were active. He took me to museums all over the country. He took me to the Smithsonian when I was, I think, in middle school, the Air and Space Museum there in Washington, D.C. We went through all the museums there. He took me to the Henry Ford Museum in Detroit. My dad opened my mind in so many ways. I know he would be just thrilled to know that I'm a lab science director today doing, you know, beyond PhD level research that's helping humanity. He would have been thrilled.
Do you think he'd be proud of you?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He would love it. If he were still alive, he would be at my lab today helping. You know, we'd be running the instruments together. Because, you know, he could learn anything as well. So he would show up, and I would teach him, you know, how to run these instruments, and he'd be part of it. It'd be fascinating. My mother really taught me compassion and empathy. I remember as a child, when we rescue injured birds or injured bunny rabbits, because we lived on a little bit of land, and we would rescue these animals and nurse them back to life. And this was something that my mom taught me. Even you know, here's a bunch of ants. You don't step on the ants. You know, they're living creatures too. That every living system has a right to life. The trees are not just biological machines. They have a plant consciousness. That every animal has consciousness. And so, if you look at what my parents taught me, you know, it's this combination of technical aptitude, and then compassion and love for living systems. Every living creature, every blade of grass. It's almost Buddhist in that philosophy, you know. Even though I was raised Christian. But that respect for life is what drives, it's the passion behind the science that I do. You know, science without wisdom is dangerous. You know, science without compassion is blind. You know, science, but when you combine science with these elements of humanity, oh man, then anything's possible. Then you can open people's eyes, you can wake people up, you can help protect ecosystems and children. You can really make a difference in our world when you combine those two things. The older I get, the more I realize how much I've been blessed. Even though I wasn't part of, I never grew up in a wealthy family. We were very much middle class. I went to public school. You know, I could not afford very high-end universities. I was actually accepted to MIT, but I couldn't afford the tuition, so I went to a university that was local to me. And so, but yet I was blessed with all these influences and attributes. And I had, there were many, many influential people in my life. One of them was a doctor, an MD. One of them was a research scientist. Another one was a musician, a very accomplished pianist who could read and write in French and was fascinated by the history of physics in Europe. I had so many influential people. And if I look back, I think, you know, gosh, so many children grow up today in such a harsh environment where they don't have these positive influences or even healthy food to support, you know, brain development. And then these children are assaulted by vaccines and assaulted by lead in the water supply and assaulted by junk food. And I realize, hey, it's my job to help protect these kids. If I could give, you know, 1 out of 100 kids the kind of childhood that I had, we would have a better society as a result. Because I had a childhood that is just amazing. It was blessed in every way, you know? And it's like, we should be so lucky to live in a world where all children had the kind of childhood that I experienced. In my ancestry, there was a woman, I think 5 generations ago, who was an actual pioneer. The U.S. government gave her land because she settled land out west and was able to prove to the government that she had you know, claimed that land as her own, and it had developed it, planted a garden, built a house. She was self-reliant. I come from a long line of innovators and survivors, and yet I feel like I am just one of many. I'm just part of this big, big group, in this humanity. We share the same history, really, if you go back far enough. We share the same genetic code. We experience the same emotions and drives and fears. We're all in search for the truth. And we all, to some extent, most of us, care about others. When we get to that last chapter of our lives, I think what matters is what we have absorbed from our ancestors and then passed on, multiplied to future generations. This is why one of my greatest concerns is the destruction of human knowledge by the medical industrial complex. They are systematically destroying indigenous knowledge of herbs. They are censoring and oppressing the science that shows vaccines to be dangerous. Even the FDA is trying to criminalize any real discussion of the medicinal benefits of herbs and foods and nutrients. In the big picture, we have to protect human knowledge and how we interact with nature to create a sustainable, healthy society that has a chance of moving forward. So I don't think of myself as just the son of my mother and my father. I think of myself as being one member of an entire global community of a race of people who are desperately trying to survive and who may not make it if we don't change. We have not colonized other planets. We have not made contact with some alien civilization that will save us. And we are on the path of destroying ourselves as a civilization. through many different ways, you know, nuclear power, chemical contamination, genetic pollution, even culture wars and destruction. If we don't change our path, we will destroy ourselves. And we cannot change unless we're willing to challenge the status quo that got us to this horrible place where we are self-destructive. So people like myself, we are the people who are asking the big questions and prodding the system and saying, let's change, let's change, let's do something different, let's have a new viewpoint, a new paradigm, because if we don't, we're going to have 10% of our children will be autistic. 50% of the water supply will be contaminated with lead and other toxic elements. 75% of the kids in school will be on mind-altering psychotropic drugs. Our food supply will be foods that cause cancer and diabetes and heart disease instead of nurturing health and longevity and creativity and innovation and brain development. So it is, you know, people like myself have a very important role in society. We are not here to go silently and quietly and to be obedient and to acquiesce to the system. We are here to prod the system into changing, into a revolution that can push humanity into the next step of human evolution. That, I am inspired by people like Nikola Tesla, you know, Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein, Richard Feynman, the physicist. These are all people who challenged the status quo. If you think about it, Einstein wasn't a conformist. He didn't say, no, we're happy with Newtonian physics, let's just go with that. He said, what if everything that you think you know about physics is wrong? What if there's a whole new paradigm to be explored that would expand human understanding? That's what Einstein explored. And I'm inspired by that. Oh, it's very clear. If my dad, if I could talk to him today, I would say thank you. Thank you for opening my eyes, for challenging me in so many different ways, for taking the time to invest in my learning journey, for believing in me, for helping me in all those different ways, you know, getting me on the path to self-learning. He opened my eyes in so many different ways, challenged my thinking in so many different ways. I would just say, you know, thank you, and what you have done is paying off for humanity. It's working. Let me get rid of this. I would say thank you. What you have done is paying off for humanity. It's, you know, your investment in me, I'm paying it forward to the rest of the world. So thank you for being that big-hearted human being, that big-hearted dad who looks at a child like me and says, I see a future for humanity in this child. You know, he did that for me. And I'm paying it forward. I've already lived an extraordinary life, and it's far from over. Think about how much more we can accomplish in the next 3 decades alone. You know, the thing is, because I eat organic food and smoothies and I follow a healthy lifestyle, I'm not going away anytime soon, man. I'm going to be here. And that's the greatest thing about nature. Has not only opened my eyes, nature is giving me the longevity to pursue truth for humanity. Particularly in Australia, the vaccine mafia it operates as a criminal entity. They call in bomb threats against people who are going to speak publicly about vaccine dangers. They physically threaten people with violence, and in this case, they carried out violence against a victim of vaccines. And it's being punished twice. It's being devastated twice. Not only is that family harmed by the vaccine, permanently damaged, and then to be violently attacked by vaccine pushers again, and to be maimed and attacked and beaten, that's all you need to know about the vaccine industry. It is about committing violence against people. The vaccine itself is a form of violence against children. And so if you look holistically at the vaccine industry, holographically, if you will, the microcosm, it's no surprise that they would beat a woman after poisoning her husband with a vaccine that's also threatening their children. This is not a coincidence. The vaccine culture is a culture of violence and threats and death. It is in the fabric of the vaccine culture. You know I carry a gun, right? I carry a gun. I'm licensed to carry a gun in the state of Texas. I carry a gun for self-defense against these people. They would like to harm me, no doubt. They would like to silence me. They would like to commit violence against me. Because I live in the great state of Texas, any attempt of violence against me would be answered in self-defense without hesitation. And that is a step that I am forced to take because we live in a time when whistleblowers like myself, scientists like myself, are routinely threatened with violence by vaccine industry operators and biotech industry shills. We live in a dangerous time. I will not be intimidated into silence. They've tried everything they can think of. It hasn't worked. And now I think they've given up at this point. It doesn't work. And again, because I'm driven by a divine mission, my spirit is bulletproof, as is yours. You cannot kill an idea with violence. You cannot kill the truth with threats. Every truth that I reveal through my work lives on beyond me. Every single truth lives on. So we've already won, man. We've already won. Just a matter of time before it all comes out. The light of truth always wins.
What does that feel like?
Well, it's just an affirmation of the importance of my work and what I'm doing. And an affirmation of all these fundamental human rights, the right to medical choice, the right to self-defense, the right to protect our children from bad medicine and junk science, the right to seek the truth. These are all fundamental human rights that really need to be universal across our whole planet. But we could start with the state of California because these rights are not even respected there. California has violated human rights to such an extent with its vaccine mandates that I believe the governor of California should be prosecuted at The Hague for crimes against humanity. There will be a day, I believe, when those who have committed medical violence against our children in the form of vaccines will be held accountable. Perhaps in their own lifetimes, with prosecutions of crimes against humanity. But even if that doesn't happen, they will be judged beyond this life. There's a spiritual judgment. What you do matters. And if you harm children in this world, you will be held accountable beyond this world. So the state caused the harm to the father first. They made him disabled. And then they come in and they take away his rights and they commit violence against the family yet again. This has been described in Orwellian type of government philosophy as a boot stomping on your face forever. That's what it is. This family is being obviously targeted and punished because they spoke out against the vaccine mythologies and the false narratives of the Australian government. So, you know, here we have the government of Australia acting like a criminal mafia. It says, if you speak out against us, we're going to bring men with guns to break down your door, to commit violence against your family, and to charge you with crimes and take away your freedoms, which have already been taken away in other forms in terms of the required vaccine shot, for example. And, you know, this is where it's all headed. Governments working in conspiracy with vaccine manufacturers to commit acts of extreme violence against families that do not obediently accept vaccine interventions. This is the war against humanity. This is scientific totalitarianism. This is vaccine violence. And it is the ultimate extension of bad medicine to administer and enforce medicine at gunpoint. That's what this family is going through, and that is where it's all headed, in California, across the United States, and everywhere around the world, if we don't change. If you look at the history of government oppression, and I believe Chairman Mao of Communist China said the ultimate expression of political will is at the end of a gun. And that is what the vaccine industry is now turning to. The same tools of Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust and communist purging of people, this is what the vaccine industry has become. Invoking violence with guns and threats and turning healthy people into disabled, handicapped people, harming children, killing children, suppressing science, suppressing voices, committing scientific fraud, covering up the information that could shine light on this. That's what the vaccine industry has become today. It is a criminal enterprise committing mass violence against innocent people everywhere around the world. Look at Nigeria. Pfizer used children for their vaccine experiments. It was so heinous and so criminal that the government of Nigeria handed down criminal indictments against the CEOs of Pfizer, called for their arrest. Look at the history of United States medical experimentation on African Americans and prisoners. And the NIH even funded medical experiments against people in Guatemala. The system of government and pharmaceutical interests has, for generations, exploited humans for medical experiments in order to maintain profit and power and control over the population. So to Tanya and Ben, my name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I'm sitting here in Central Texas, and I want you to know that I am a fellow spiritual warrior fighting for you to help protect you against the extreme violence and criminality that has been directed at you by institutions of incredible destruction and evil that are also targeting many other innocent children and innocent families across our planet. I can assure you that there is a very strong and growing movement of people who are waking up to help defend families like yours against this regime of destruction, and that we will do everything in our power using tremendous resources and even, in fact, divine inspiration and divine protection to help you overcome this great evil that you have been faced with for unknown reasons. You do not deserve what has happened to you. If I had been standing next to you on that day when you were taken out of your car and beaten, I would have pulled out my Glock and shot that person to protect you. I would have invoked the human universal right of self-defense to save your life against violence. I have that same philosophy of self-protection and defense of the righteous and the innocent in my work as the Health Ranger at naturalnews.com and my science laboratory, looking at the composition of vaccines using analytical instrumentation, using my voice, using our reach, social media everywhere, you name it, to try to spread the word and help people like you get through this. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. You have more support than you know. You have divine support. And I'm reaching out to you right now to tell you you're not alone in this. In fact, you may live in a society where you feel like you're surrounded by evil, but you live among angels of love and light that surround you, that are reaching out to others like me all across the world, other continents, other nations, who will come to your aid and who send you love and protection and who will help you overcome this tremendous evil that you've been faced with. And I want you to know that you will be you will be recognized and you will be stronger because of this epic battle that you face with the forces of evil and destruction. Know in your heart and in your soul that we are here with you and that we will do everything in our power to end the violence against your children, your husband, your family, and your fellow humans all across Australia and around the world. We aim to end violence in whatever way we can that is consistent with the principles of the divine and the protection of life. So thank you for watching this video. And my heart goes out to you. You have my love.